obviously, we were never going to miss the opportunity with the Taoiseach coming to the region, as you say. So we did put a formal request through to Minister McConnell. That was 12 days ago now, on the 18th of the month, and we heard nothing back. So we had our Monday evening, our usual Monday Mike Action Group meeting, and we just called it out that we couldn't be ignored in this fashion, and we went ahead and said we were inviting ourselves. And ironically, then we have, it appears to have been yesterday evening, we've got an invite now through Charlie McConnell, and it looks like they're going to try and shoehorn us in somewhere into the itinerary on the Saturday. So yes, we'll welcome that and we look forward to that, but it'll not take anything away from what we're doing regarding bringing people back to the streets.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I wonder would that have happened if they had said, yes, of course, you know, this is a big issue. We'll meet a delegation. We'll set aside an hour on Saturday morning and we want to hear what you have to say and we want to give you an update. I imagine if that conversation had have happened at the time of the request, we wouldn't necessarily perhaps be seeing such an organised feat on the street.
Yeah, and I think this is typical again of what we've been dealing with all along, Greg. You know, everything's reactionary, everything's last minute, everything is after you hold their feet to the fire to the point where they eventually squeal. And that's exactly what we've done. I'm fairly familiar with what the itinerary was for the Taoiseach, and certainly we weren't in as part of it. So they're looking to get us shoehorned in there somewhere now. But to your point, would this have happened otherwise? My own gut feel is no, we wouldn't have been getting an invite. And to think that your Taoiseach would waltz into the county and waltz back out again, having not looked to engage in with anyone representing the biggest issue this county has ever had, beggars belief, to be honest.
I wonder, you know, this is not really, this is just my comment, but how politics have changed. Back in the day, I think what would have happened was is that, you know, a Taoiseach would have made sure they had a bit of good news on a big issue going into a region and actually would have sought a meeting themselves. That's how it seemed to operate in the past, but we seem to be in a different space now. Maybe I'm just looking back with rose-tinted glasses. What questions does Micheál Martin need to answer now? If he were on the line and you were to put a couple of questions to him, what are those questions?
Well, I think the first question is, what have you guys done to resource this 2.2 billion euro scheme? And I know the answer to that because I'm in conversations with the relevant people and we don't have dedicated resources. You know, it's if you were in the private sector and you're dealing with 500,000 of a scheme, you would make sure it was resourced. You would make sure there was plans in place. There were work streams for all the different facets that's involved in a scheme, and we're multiplying that up so many times to reach 2.2 billion, and yet we seem to be tagging on to the job roles of people that are in existing jobs. It's, you know, it just represents the complete non-urgency and lack of urgency that they seem to be treating us with here. And we have got homes that are, you know, we've got schemes that are on a standstill, even with the local authorities, because of being kept in the dark and no answers being forwarded by the department regards what to do with the likes of pyrotite that they've been told to ignore because it's not in the IS 465 standard. And yet the council knows it's crazy to ignore it because you'd be making the wrong decisions in terms of whether it's a demolition or an outer leaf. But the department will give no guidance. So things are at a standstill. The only thing that's not at a standstill is the rate at which these homes are crumbling. And there is a complete lack of appreciation for that. And homeowners are rightly extremely frustrated, and you know they're looking across at one another, and we're picking at one another. Where in actual fact, the problem is still in Dublin. It was always in Dublin, that and the local authorities, and they're just not making it happen. And people's frustrations boiling over, and I think they need to come in on Saturday, channel that frustration in a very appropriate way, and make sure that we're not ignored.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you know, there are people who are going to be staying over at the same hotel, but you can't make an omelette, I suppose, without breaking some eggs sometimes. So in terms of, because this can, you obviously and those involved in this are right across it and have a intimate understanding of everything that's going on, right? But for those who may not or find it difficult to get their heads around stuff, I'm a little bit like that myself, to be honest. I mean, There was announcements, okay, and then there was some commentary as to, right, you know, this is the best deal we can do at the moment, and it is, at least close to 100% for the majority of people, right? Okay, so what has changed that this language has changed now, that we're talking again about this isn't costed, this is stalled, the only thing that is progressing is the crumbling of the houses. What has changed over the last, I don't know how long it is, couple of months, that we've seemed to have moved from a positive position where it feels to me as an onlooker, as not quite a square one position, but do you get where I'm coming from?
I absolutely do, Greg, and I think it's a very fair point. And it's not that we're jumping around with this. We have to take what's in front of us at any given time. And what was in front of us at the SCSI announcement was a proper investigation into costs that was taking place by an independent body. And they were using QSs from the area here and from other affected parts of the Northwest as well. So, and that was massively different to the costings that was being put forward by the department via the sliding scale. But the important part to note is that the department were still involved because they were able to dictate what the remit was, what the terms of reference was for SCSI. So they've done a good enough job, I believe, in the costings per square foot for what they were allowed to cost, but there were things that they were not allowed to cost. For example, replacement of foundations were not in there. It was going to be a home built to 2007 regulations. They were told not to allow for even a carpet on your floor.
To some extent, that was accepted, but we seem to have gone, not accepted, but it still was, all right, this is progress. Where's the reverse come from? Where's the reverse come from where we're back in the area of, frustration, stalled process, government needs answers? Like, where's the regression come from?
I think the regression is coming from the fact that, again, we were given something that we were taking in good faith, and then a bit of the devil in the detail starts to emerge again, Greg, and we had this before. Now, there is detail in there that people need to know. There's 8 reference houses in there. Now, not all the houses, probably about 10, 15% of our houses are going to fit neatly into them 8. Now we have the in-betweeners, and it's not clear yet what's happening in these in-betweeners. And we have sought that detail. That detail is still being kicked about by the department, which concerns us, because anything that the department got involved in the past was definitely not in the interest of the homeowners. So we were told we'd be getting independence. It can't be independence for 8 houses. It has to be independence for all houses, and that detail is still lacking. So that's an example of the sorts of things we're up against. The options 2 to 5, which is to do with the outer leaf, there are big concerns now on the back of, reinforced information. And I know you had Paul Dunlop and Eileen Doherty on there talking about this stuff. We still have a department that seems to be blind to what science is telling them out there, and they're still pushing options 2 to 5, when actual fact, we have very, very strong reason to believe that depending on the results that come back through, that less than demolition won't work.
Yeah, but that being said, Michael, long before, some time ago, and I've said it here, and others have said it as well, it never made sense that you would do an outer leaf and not an inner leaf, given what actually causes these blocks to deteriorate, that it wouldn't make any sense to build, on foundations that may well include the same problematic chemicals and what have you. I thought this was kind of, a lot of people felt this for quite some time, that an outer leaf option just was not really ever going to be satisfactory, even with some sort of estate guarantee, because there was an inevitability of what's going to happen down the line. And really, we've just heard at a webinar that being reinforced, that by someone who really knows his stuff, of course, but it doesn't seem like new information to me as an onlooker.
I think the difference is that everyone had their suspicions all along. And, if you're taking it and standing back in layman's terms, you'd say it's the same blocks come off the same lorry. What's the difference between an outer leaf and an inner leaf? The concrete came from the same quarry. It's got the same aggregate in it. What's the difference? There was proposals put forward by department at the time, because concrete is much more dense. It's, 35, 40 Newton concrete, as opposed to blocks that are meant to be 5 or 7 Newton, that this would have less of an effect. All of the time, there has been science emerging, and that science, accumulated, I believe, in the form of what came forward through that European seminar. And then it put a lot of what was suspicions to bed, and they were more of facts than they were suspicions. Yeah. I think that's the difference.
I just feel because there are people that have to adopt that science, though, Michael. It feels to me, and this is might be why the government or the civil servants don't want to take it on board. It seems to me that this would inflate the cost of the scheme greatly, and the extent of the not only the cost of the scheme in fixing the houses that have been identified as problematic, but it would broaden it out. You know, to include an awful lot more houses. Like, as I say, you know, are we at square one then with that in mind?
I don't think we're square one. I think where we're at is a place where we have to take stock of the facts that surround us. And, you know, there's a lot more information available now than what there was when the scheme was first announced. People have been, you know, the experience of the houses that have been tested, for example, you know, there's about 600 houses worth of data out there now that should be taken, should be ploughed into proper research, and yet we don't see any evidence of that happening. So, you know, so we're taking this policy very simply, Greg.
Sorry, Michael, just before 10, say they announced like 10 million... and it probably would take something like that there to do a deep analysis, right? Because, of course, from the webinar, we were talking about three or four samples, right, I think. So this would take a much more detail. Can the scheme continue whilst that level of investigation was ongoing finally, Michael?
Yes, it can. But if in doubt, take it out. That has to be the strategy until science tells us that less will do.
Okay. Listen, thanks for your time as always. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, take care. And by the way, that protest, sorry, this is why we began the conversation.
Yeah.
A gathering of people. It's at the in the vicinity of the Radisson Hotel, Saturday morning from about 11:45.
Yeah, correct. And the last thing I'd like to say, Greg, is there's one in Derry as well at 7 p.m. because the Holly homeowners need to be represented. That's a place for them. But we would ask that's a very dignified rally because it's the John Hume Memorial that we have got the Taoiseach visiting, and we absolutely want to be respectful. But I would also say John Hume, if he was here today, would see the great injustice that's been done and would certainly support what we're looking to do here. So, but let's keep it dignified.